Saints in Christ, redeemed from your sin, not with gold or silver, but with Christ's holy blood, his innocent suffering and death. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. This Reformation Sunday, the text for our consideration was inspired by the Holy Spirit to be written by St. John in the 8th chapter of his Gospel. We celebrate this day. We celebrate this Reformation Day because we have the freedom to hear God's word read and proclaimed in its truth and purity. We celebrate this day because we remember what Martin Luther and his courageous colleagues at Wittenberg University did, what they brought about. We honor and we remember those saints of the church who refused to compromise with those who hated Jesus, with those who held the people captive, with those who held the church captive with their false teaching. Sadly, we mourn on this day also. For you see, the Reformation brought about great comfort to each of us individual sinners, but it brought a sword and division to the Christian church. How so? Well, Luther's conservative movement to fix the church led to and gave way to many radical expressions of Christianity that to this very day deny the efficacy of holy baptism. They deny that Jesus' body and blood is present in the Holy Supper. Some who call themselves Christian embrace false teaching, the ordination of women, marriage other than one man, one woman for a lifetime, and they advocate the murder of unborn children. Some who call themselves Christians believe that Christians, Mormons, Jews, and Muslims all worship the same God. What is the truth? Well, to hear the truth, we're going to take a little trip, as we do. We're going to go back in time. We're going to go back to the year 30 AD, and we're going to travel to Jerusalem. John wrote that Jesus was in the temple teaching. He taught for a day, said, "That's enough," and went home. The next day, he went back to the temple to teach again. He knew he was needed there, especially for the new Christians, the new faithful. And there was a large crowd gathering, and I mean, Scripture, if you read through the Gospels, they always say these large crowds gathered around Jesus. I say those large crowds were made up of three groups of people. One, you had the true believers. Jesus is the Messiah. Two, you have haters, the unbelievers, those who deny Jesus is the true Messiah and wanted to do away with him, wanted to kill him. And three, there were the gawkers or the hang-arounds. They just said, what's going on now? Why is this crowd gathered here? It's kind of like when you go down the highway and there's an accident on one side and everybody slows down to see what's going on. So these three groups of people were there. Jesus was there for all of them, but specifically he was there to preach to the new converts because they are the most vulnerable. Paul speaks of new converts as little children needing spiritual milk. Jesus knew that they needed to hear God's word to strengthen their faith. It's the same reason you are here today. Hearing God's word brought you to faith. And through the continual hearing of God's word, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you and keep you steadfast in that one true faith to life everlasting. So Jesus taught. Well, the Jews, that group of unbelievers, the haters, they didn't like what Jesus had to say. They challenged Jesus' offer of freedom. For you see, they believed and truly believed and claimed a freedom that no occupational force such as Rome could hinder. They believed that their connection with Abraham gave them favored status with God. In other words, if they could trace their ancestral tree to Abraham, they had an in. They were favored by God as one of his own. Who was this Jesus to tell them, we need to be set free? You don't know what you're talking about. Well, Jesus expressed a solemn truth. Bit of a disconnect there. They're thinking of, well, we're children of Abraham, so we got it in with God, and not even Rome's going to oppress us. What do you mean we have to have this freedom that only a Messiah brings? Well, Jesus is talking about freedom from sin, spiritual freedom. He wasn't talking about freedom from Rome. And he told them that if they are sinners, they are going to be captives. They said, no, that isn't true, that isn't true. And to this day, society doesn't believe this. Society doesn't believe that freedom is forgiven sin. They don't believe in that type of freedom. They're like the Jews back then. They believe freedom is something like, oh, we can worship who we want, or we can have a socialist government structure, or we can kneel for the national anthem. That to them is freedom. But that isn't what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about freedom from sin. Well, back and forth, and finally Jesus just cut right to the heart of the matter. And he spoke words that's the law. That's the way it is. And Jesus said to them, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. We talked about this in Bible study this morning. That those who are caught up in their sin remain caught up in their sin, and sin leads to sin, which leads to the sin, and you are basically in bondage to that sin. Now, they were a little bit upset with all of this. They didn't want to believe any of it. They were descendants of Abraham, right? So being a descendant of Abraham, we have never been in bondage. We have never been slaves. Really? Another reason to study history. Let's look at the history of Abraham's descendants. God called Abraham to come out of the land of Ur, modern-day Iraq, and go to this Promised Land, modern-day Israel. He did. His family grew larger. Famine came along. Things were going on back and forth. He had a son named Jacob. Jacob had a son named Joseph and other sons. But what happened to Joseph? He was sold into slavery in Egypt. Eventually, good came out of that because he became very favored, number two man in charge, brought over the whole family. Everybody was happy and fine and well fed. But after a few years, the Egyptians forgot about who Joseph was, and they enslaved the Hebrew people for 400 years. I guess these Jews forgot about that. But God set them free, guided them over to the Promised Land, where they established a nation and lived under God and did fairly well as long as they listened to God. But once they turned from God, turned away from him, followed their own lustful desires, they became slaves to sin. And God says, I'm going to have to discipline you. So he sent the Assyrians in there to beat them up. took some off as slaves. They still didn't listen. The Babylonians came after that, beat them up, took some more off as slaves. They still didn't listen to that. Then come the Persians, enslaved, the Greeks, enslaved, the Romans, enslaved and dominated by. Don't these guys get it that, hey, you look at your whole history for 2,000 years, for the majority of it, you were slaves to your sin. And that's why God sent the pagans to beat you up. Well, by the end of the conversation, they were kind of frustrated. They were mad, mad to the point that they called Jesus a demonic and they were going to beat him up. They were going to throw rocks at him. They wanted to kill him. They were persecuting him. And that's the way it is. If we look at that Jewish history, the history of the Hebrew people, if we go back in time, God sent prophet after prophet, sent these men out to preach and to teach. What did they do to them? They beat them up. They threw rocks at them. They killed them. What did they do to Jesus for preaching the best news ever? You know, normally you kill the guy that brings the bad news. Oh, he brings the best news ever, and they put him to death. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And many who came after him, and still to this day, many who come after him, are persecuted for the faith. And one in particular that we're going to look at today is a 16th century Roman Catholic monk named Martin Luther, who was persecuted for his Christian faith. He said, this is the word of God. This is where we are to look. This is what we are to believe. This is where we are to place our faith. And the church didn't want that. Why not? Greed, idolatry, sin. The Roman Catholic Church at that time was very happy to grow rich and fat off of false teaching, leading. The majority of people were illiterate, so they didn't know anything better. They couldn't read the Bible or understand any of it. Leading them astray and teaching them that they could earn their salvation. Salvation by works. Or worse yet, by your salvation. By an indulgence. Well, Luther spoke against all this. He saw the corruption and he wanted to fix the church. So, on October 31st, he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. And that set off a whole bunch of events. Keep in mind that Luther did not want to start a new church. Luther did not bring about any new teachings. He just wanted the church to go back to the truth. God's word. Teach God's word. And rightly administer the sacraments. And not use fear and manipulation to control the people. He wanted to bring Christians out of that captivity into the freedom that we Christians have in Christ. What did Jesus say? He said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In Christ, we have this freedom. God's word in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is preached in its truth and purity. We hear the word as Christ spoke it, as the apostles spoke it and taught it. It isn't corrupted. We don't come here and worship with liturgical dancing and doing all sorts of crazy, weird things like they do in some churches today. I mean, I didn't bring my dog here to have communion. You laugh. There's actually a church in Chicago where you bring your pets with you to communion. It is that corrupted, but not in the true church. Why? Because we have a solid foundation. And what is that solid foundation? What did Jesus tell Peter? Upon this rock I shall build my church. That big church body corrupted that and said it's going to be on Peter and a whole line of sinful men that the church is built. No. It's built upon the confession that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, upon that solid bedrock of God's word, not upon the shifting sands of culture and I feel. For you see, in this church, we not only have the freedom to hear God's word proclaimed in its truth and purity, we have the freedom to bring your children, to bring others to the font of holy baptism, where we are marked and sealed as God's own, names written in the book of life in heaven. And it's not just a one-time event. Your baptism remains with you your whole life, as each day the old Adam is drowned and the new person arises. And we are free to make the sign of the cross when we pray, knowing and remembering what God did for us in our baptism, clothing us in the righteousness of Christ. We are free to come here this day, to come to this altar in a short time. And you're not just going to get a piece of bread. You are going to receive the very body of Christ under bread and the very blood of Christ under the wine for the forgiveness of your sins. You're not going to be denied one element. You're going to be given both. We have that freedom to commune as Christ instituted. And all of this freedom sets us even freer to be servants to Christ, to do the good works that God sets before us to do. We serve others. That's what Luther was talking about. I have a quote here that he said, and he kind of summarizes the whole Reformation here. Summarizes what he was talking about. Luther said, "A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none, because we are free of our sin." Luther said, "A Christian is a dutiful servant of all, subject to all." That we have the freedom to do the good works that God gives us to do. Today we remember the start of the Reformation. We remember Luther because he pointed to Christ alone, Scripture alone, faith alone, by grace alone. Jesus said, "If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." In Jesus' name, amen.